Do you guys want to talk about the Fetty album before Greg gets here?
Yeah, start talking music.
Yeah.
Greg said he would be home about 7, so
I think he said he was leaving at 7, so.
I thought he said he was going to be home at 7.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I could have read that wrong.
Yeah. But, yeah, we can start, right? So.
Yeah, since he said he wasn't going to, he hasn't listened to the Fetty Wap album yet either, so.
Well,
we'll start with the Fetty Wap album, and then hopefully whenever Greg gets in, or by the time Greg gets here, we can do
it. I mean, I only listened to it, like, once, so.
Mm-hmm. I only listened to it once, and it was literally, like, 4 hours ago.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to talk about it for super long. I just kind of want to say, like, you know, whenever a rapper goes from, like, kind of a one-hit wonder, like Fetty Wap was, to, like, somewhat.
Hey, that was, like, he was, like, a three-hit wonder.
He was a four-hit wonder for keeping.
Four-hit wonder.
All right, there you go. Wherever you go from, like, dominating the charts for, like, a summer to being, like, basically irrelevant, I feel like a lot of artists don't really take that opportunity to try something new. I feel like they kind of redouble down.
They just kind of run it back to what worked that one time.
And I don't necessarily think the Fetty album is great or maybe even, like, above average, but I do think it's really cool that he, like, tried something new. And I kind of like the whole, like, I saw a few tweets where people like, Fetty Wap can't even sing on key, but he kind of makes it work. Like,
yeah, I think that's kind of his thing. Dude, right? I'm
all out on Fetty singing. My favorite songs were that Strawberry
Kush.
Yeah, Strawberry Kush.
That's a great song.
Yeah, and then Bruce Wayne, because it was like more classic sounding Fetty. I don't know. I mean, I agree with you. It is nice to see him try something new. But it's kind of sad because, like, I'm looking at him on Wikipedia. Like, there aren't even Wikipedia articles for his albums now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy to, like, how big he was. What was that, like, 3 years ago?
Dude, he owned that summer. What was that?
The summer of 16 or 15, the summer of 2015?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, he owned that whole, like, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing one of those big Fetty hits.
Yeah.
And then I was listening to this album today, dude, and I genuinely, like, if I had no idea who Fetty Wap was, if you played me Trap Queen and then played me, like, any random song off this album and told me they were the same person, I'd call you a liar.
Yeah.
The first song started, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I guess he has a feature. And then I went on, like, Genius, and it was like, nah, no feature. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Third or fourth song for me whenever I was, like, Is this still Fetty? Is this what he sounds like when he's not doing his thing? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, but no, I did like the moments on the album when he would kind of go to that, though.
Yeah.
Because there was a few, like, there was one song where he did it for, like, the whole song, and then there was one where he, like, came in and out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, like, I think those might have been my favorite parts.
Yeah.
Where he was starting that, because, I don't know, it's just, like, there's something about it. It's, like, catchy or something. I don't know, I just like it, but yeah. I mean, I'm kind of with you though, Mark, on the whole, like, I didn't think it was, like, great. I thought it was fine. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I'm going to ever listen to it again, but I'm not, like, mad I listened to it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, Strawberry Kush and So Different were, like, and Bruce Wayne were, like, three songs. I was like, these are pretty good. The rest of it's, like, mostly filler, but
yeah. And a lot of the songs are one verse.
Yeah. And I kind of like,
which
that.
Is kind of, I kind of liked it too, but at the same time, I was like, I feel like I got like 2/3 of a song here.
Yeah. Well, it's like 20.
I'm all
minutes.
In the shorter albums this year, dude.
Yeah. See, I think his work, because his was short, and it was still 11 songs,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a decent length. Yeah. Which we'll get into. I want to bring up the length stuff again when we talk about Kanye.
Yeah. Yeah, you
Uh-oh.
Do.
Uh-oh.
Because someone's gonna apologize to me.
No, see, I'm not going to apologize to you. I just think it's actually on more of an artist-by-artist basis.
We're going
to
start fighting?
I think Pusha T works really well with short albums.
Yeah.
I think Kanye is an artist that works better with more room to do stuff, because he's like such like a scatterbrained human being that I just feel like he needs more room to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he likes to have large portions of just like randomness and stuff.
Yeah.
And like kind of downtime and stuff and songs. And it like just doesn't really work when you have 7 songs.
Yeah.
Cause it's, I don't know. I'm not going to apologize to you for saying, cause I still liked Pusha's being 7. Cause I felt like that worked really well.
I like,
but Kanye doesn't work with 7.
I like Pusha's 7, but I'm like, I could do 12. My whole thing is,
I mean, yeah I guess
my whole thing is like, I have a set number. I don't know if it's the number of songs or amount of minutes I'm willing to consistently give to an artist to hear their albums. And like, even artists that like, well, I like Pusha T, but even artists like I'm not particularly fond of, I'm more like, I'm willing to give more than like 21 minutes of my time to like listen to one of their albums.
See, I'm kind of the other way. I kind of would
like, if I was like, by, like song 5, I'm out usually.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am too. So it's like, I don't know. It's, I don't mind if it's 7, then I'm like, okay, and I like it. And then it's 7, I'm like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Wait, then I like the whole album. Like, wait, I don't.
Can we take a minute to appreciate that I was 100% right on my Pusha T takes with the Drake beef on like day one of that coming out?
Wait, what do you mean?
What?
Well, I was like, Drake, I don't know how Drake responds to this. I don't know what he says. And then he didn't respond.
Well, I actually think you guys owe me an apology.
Why? What? Because you were completely wrong. You were like, oh, no, dude, it's not that good. I was like, dude, Pusha T's winning on Twitter right now.
No, my whole point was that Drake was going to come back something crazy that, like, fucked up Pusha T and Kanye's career. And Jay Prince, the most credible man in hip-hop, literally read. Are you kidding me?
Dude, I don't buy that for a second.
No, but
he pulled the way. I have a girlfriend that goes to another school.
I don't know how you can say that, dude. Like, that's such like the biggest like.
Do you guys? Oh, yeah, we do had. Do you guys know who Jay Prince is?
Yeah, I do know who he is. But do you know how that like? I don't know. Do you know how that comes off though? Like when you just got like you got like handed, like you got whooped by Pusha T in that song, and then he comes out and he's like, "Oh, I have a song that could end his career. I'm never going to release it."
Kanye's career. So yeah, I could maybe see him like going off on Kanye, but still it's like, all right, you just look weak at that point because Pusha T's the one who attacked you and like you don't even answer his beef. Like that seems really lame to me.
I don't know.
That's kind of where I am too. He very well might have a song that could end someone like or is like crazy good.
Dude, Kanye's fucking stupid. Kanye's damaged himself so much at this point.
Yeah. But I just think you can't like look at that and don't think it comes off as like oh I have this song that could end this dude's career but I'm not gonna release it, like that comes off as like I actually don't have anything to say, like that's how that comes off. It might not be what actually is happening, but that's how it comes off.
So I'm going for 2 counterpoints. One, Jay Prince was literally the guy who flew out to California and told Biggie he was gonna get shot, and then Biggie was like, no, I don't buy it, and then Biggie got shot. So I kind of take his word for a lot of things. He also said he could end Jay-Z's career with the snap of a finger last year, and Jay-Z didn't respond to him. Jay-Z instead has comments in his book that's like, yeah, Jay Prince is one of the best people to work with. 3, he had a hit put out on Floyd Mayweather. He's the reason Floyd Mayweather travels so heavy with security. He literally put out a hit on him over $600,000.
Wait, what happened? Yeah, no, what's his story with this?
Okay,
wait.
So he also manages boxers. He was trying to get Mike Tyson, but ended up with Floyd Mayweather. So their contract ended in October, and Floyd Mayweather was trying to push off a fight till December so that they didn't have to pay Jay Prince. And Jay Prince allegedly sent some people with baseball bats to fuck up Floyd Mayweather's entire crew. And Bob Arum, his manager, was like, oh, I'll write Jay Prince a line of credit. And Floyd Mayweather basically was like, you better pay him cash or he's going to kill me. Like,
yeah, no, I did some reading up on Jay Prince, and the dude is pretty legit. But I'm just saying that how that comes, how,
that we love situation. Jay Prince here. We respect Jay Prince on this podcast. We don't make any enemies on this podcast.
Yeah.
Who knows who's listening, dude?
But you have to see how that. How people read that situation.
Yeah, I get, but like, even look at Pusha,
and that's all that really matters in this type of thing. Even, is how people perceive it. I guess
my thing is like, even look at Pusha T. Pusha T went from like, a week ago, he was out here like, oh, it's gonna be the summer of secrets, like, I'm coming after Drake, I'm gonna expose him, and then the day after Jay Prince did that interview, Pusha T is like, yeah, the Drake beef is over, like, like, his tone changed real quick on that. That's like part of the reason for me. That's like Pusha T isn't still out here like talking shit. Although like 50 Cent didn't even respond to Jay Prince or Jay Prince talked shit on him. 50 Cent's fucking insane. Yeah. Have you guys ever heard of Courtesy Call?
I don't think so, no.
It's Jay Prince's quote-unquote diss track, but it's not really a diss track. It's just him talking shit on, like, a lot of the biggest people in music. Like, he comes after Diddy, Lil Wayne, Birdman, and, like, 50 Cent and someone else. And, like, the only person to say something back is Birdman, who, like, I think we can all agree is not the brightest individual. And I don't know. I'm terrified of Jay Prince. I found out who he was after that Drake line, where he was like, I'm a Jay Prince investment. I was like, who is this guy? And I found out he's fucking terrifying.
Oh, yeah. We respect Jay Prince here. The spot.
Yeah.
The spot, huge Jay Prince fans. Respect. Nothing ill to say of Jay Prince.
Yeah. I get it's not a good look. But I'm just saying, like, the way Pusha T responded was not like, he didn't have that same energy he had before Jay Prince was like,
oh, yeah.
Definitely. I heard the diss track and I called Kanye. And I told
Kanye called him. Isn't that what he said? I thought he said Kanye called him to end it.
Mm-hmm. Also,
that sounds like Pusha, like, Kanye's like, hey, stop.
Yeah. So also,
that too.
So, I think it's pretty funny that Kanye was definitely the person who gave Pusha T this information.
Oh, absolutely.
Because apparently Drake played, whenever Drake was writing the hook for Yikes, he was he played Kanye the song for his son.
Yeah,
coming out on Scorpion.
Yes, I did.
Wait,
hear
so
that.
this is like he definitely has a son. Like,
yeah,
that's true.
He has the Adidas line for him that he was gonna have. He is was gonna have confirmed? A song for him. No, none of it's confirmed, but like,
okay. But like, yeah, I heard that apparently Drake played the song that he made for his son for Kanye, and then all of a sudden, Pusha T has all this information about Drake's
song. Well, I think it's funny that everyone thought it was A$AP Rocky at first.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Why did people think it was Rocky?
Because A$AP Rocky was with Drake's baby mama for a little bit before Drake was. And Drake made a reference to him on I'm Upset. And he made a comment about, like, A$AP Rocky. Not, like, a mean one or a mad one, but, like, just a comment about him. And people thought that, like, that was him basically insinuating, like, A$AP Rocky, like, knew and told Pusha T. And A$AP Rocky was like, had that huge Twitter, well, not like a Twitter, but he had like this tweet, like, people need to mind their own business and get off my fucking dick. I ain't no snitch or something like that.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just feel like Drake was kind of in a lose-lose situation there. And I kind of feel like he probably did make the right decision by just kind of being like, this not really worth my time. I'm just gonna take the L and move on. And then Jay Prince came out and was like, and then made it seem like, you know, be like, oh, he has this, he could, but I'm saying it's over. And then people were like, oh, okay, it's over, guys.
Nobody. I saw a couple of people tweeting that something in the song was about like connecting Pusha T somehow to the people who robbed Kim Kardashian. That like he is somehow like, he's somehow friends with them or knows them or something.
Yeah, I saw you were tweeting that stuff out. And then, I didn't see anyone else tweet anything similar to that.
I saw like really two safe. Other people tweet about it. But I don't know if it was all from that one. Yeah, it's like, I saw like two other people tweet about and then that guy. But I'm like, are they just tweeting because of this guy? But I mean, like, I'm sure there's a shit ton of stuff out there on Kanye, especially.
Oh, that's what I mean, dude. Like, we could come up with shit on Kanye just from like his pop culture
aspect. No, I'm sure, but there's like a lot of bad shit.
Oh, I'm sure there's some craziness.
No, that's what I mean.
Kanye.
If we could come up with some crazy stuff on him just that's like public knowledge, like there's so much public knowledge about him that's just crazy. Imagine like the private knowledge, like when he's like,
yeah, the stuff that he kept under wraps because he's like, no, this is too crazy for me.
Yeah.
But anyway, do we want to move on to actually talking about the album?
Yeah.
Oh, we start with Yay?
Do we want to start with Kids?
Let's start with Yay, because we got to build in the... Let's, like, go chronologically. So we talked about Daytona last time.
Yeah, okay, that works. So, I don't know, one of you guys want to start?
Do we want to go song by song, and then overarching ideas and thoughts? Or do we want to go overarching
like
ideas
maybe
and
like
thoughts?
Maybe, like, quick thoughts about the songs.
Yeah, do we want to do, like, songs first, and then thoughts about the album, or album thoughts first and thoughts about the songs?
I mean, do you just want to give your overall opinion of the album, and then we can go song by song, which one we like? I mean, I don't really care. It's up to you guys, whatever you want to do.
Marshall, call it.
All right, we'll just give impressions first, I guess, and we'll go song by song. Right. Dude, let's just say, like, starting off with, like, I think I thought about Kill You. It was, like, the weirdest introduction to an album. I was like, why the fuck did you choose to put this first? Like, my thing is, like, honestly, this was so disappointing. Like, I wasn't, like, huge on Life of Pablo when it first came out, but it really grew on me. Like, this just felt so, like, half-baked and just, like, crammed together. Like, none of the beats sounded great. Kanye's verses were just, like, really weird for the most part. This was, like, the first time where I was listening to Kanye album. I was like, this dude, like, legitimately, I was like, I don't know why he's rapping. Like, I'd much rather him just produce beats for other artists, because, like, I felt like usually, like, Kanye albums, like, have some kind of, like, I don't know. Like, they definitely have, like, they have, like, a grandeur. Like, the production, like,
they have a through line.
Exactly. Yeah. I would say Life of Pablo felt kind of thrown together, but there were certain songs on the album that felt like he took a lot of time with that I really enjoyed. I felt like that was just a very inconsistent album that had like some of my favorite Kanye singles or like one-off songs, but then there were other songs that just like, dude, like how did this make an album? And it was like very obvious with that album because he kept changing it. Like after he released it, he kept like modifying songs because they weren't even finished. Like I don't really want to like talk too much about Life of Pablo. I just feel like that kind of spirit and like kind of thrown togetherness of an album definitely comes through in this one too, but to like an even bigger extent because there aren't really any songs on this that I like take away as like really enjoying. Like the whole thing was just pretty forgettable for me. Like, and I tried to like it. I've given it like 5 listens, and after a certain point, it's like nothing's like clicked with me at this point. I don't think anything will. Another really interesting thing that I read was like, I don't want to get too deep into it, but like the reason why I felt like Daytona worked really well is because they were just like really good beats, and Pusha gave a few verses. He had like, you know, a guest verse from Kanye, a guest verse from Rick Ross, I think. I think that was it. Everything else was just him. These songs, like, if you look at like, I think I saw this article that said basically like for Daytona, like Pusha would start his verse within the first 11 seconds of every song. And with Ye, it's like there are multiple songs where you're going like 40 seconds before Kanye starts rapping. And on these, like, it's like a 22-minute album. And when you have all this dead air time where it's just like these kind of weird beats and like kind of like honestly kind of like the production value just wasn't there for me. Like, I don't think any of these beats were that great. It was just super disappointing and probably my least favorite Kanye thing ever. I don't even know like any of these songs like make my playlist. I mean, we'll go track by track later, but yeah, I mean, it was pretty disappointing to me. And it was after Daytona, which I really loved. Like, that's probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite project of the year, and this just seemed like kind of mediocre.
Look at you, Greg, just in time.
What up?
Yeah, we just started talking about Ye.
We're talking about is it Ye or Ye? I say Ye. I thought it was Ye, dude.
I think it is Ye.
I thought it was Ye.
It's the last two letters of his name, Kanye.
Yeah, that's how I took it.
Yeah. That's how I see it, too. But I've heard Ye, too, so I don't know what to think. I'm going with Ye, though. I feel like Ye sounds better, at least.
Yeah. No, but yeah, Marshall, I kind of agree with you on that, where it's like, for Kanye, who's been, like, this dude who, like, agonizingly, like, tries to perfect stuff for most of his career, this one really seemed like it was kind of just slapped together kind of lazily.
And yeah, like, I feel like you guys don't like Yeezus as much as I do, but, like, I feel like even you guys have to admit, like, Yeezus feels like it was, like, very well produced, and, like, he took his time making all those beats. Even if he didn't like the heavier sound of them, I felt like he put his time in for each one of these. Like, these last two projects, like, most of the songs on Life of Pablo and all the songs on this just sound so, like legit, like he was like cramming for a final and he had to get this out the door.
Yeah.
Like, it just sounds so rushed.
No, yeah, he definitely had like a vision for Yeezus. Like, this, I don't know, this album almost feels like to me that he randomly like just plucked 7 songs off of some longer album and randomly put them in here. It's like, I don't know, it's like weird. I don't know. Like, I kind of, like I said, I'm it just kind of seems like lazily put together, and I don't know, for, and I agree, this might be my least favorite Kanye thing too, and I like don't like Yeezus.
Yeah.
And I think I like this less. And just, yeah, like I said, like nothing ever, there was never a point where I was like, I felt like I was never hooked by the album. Like it never hooked me in. Like I was just kind of listening to it, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, it's over.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh. Yeah, because how short it is too. It's like,
what's with, oh, yeah, damn, what's with all these 7-song albums? Yeah. It's like they promised they were gonna, yeah, do an album a week and then realized, oh crap, we don't have enough.
No, Kanye,
let's make them all like 20 minutes.
Kanye picked that at the beginning of summer because 7's a good number.
Yeah.
Literally, oh, really? Strictly on that basis. Strictly,
I think Kanye just saw the movie 7. Like, I watched it last night for the first time, and he was inspired there. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, no.
Go ahead, Mark.
I think it's a little concerning. Like, it's not concerning for a Post Malone album that all my favorite parts are the features.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say the same thing. All of my favorite parts, all of my favorite moments are the features on this album. I think I can honestly say that.
Yeah. The valet hook, unquestionably the best moment of the album.
Oh yeah. And then the
07 shake,
yeah, that part is really good. And it's, I don't, like I said, I honestly, mm-hmm,
yeah, the Young Thug hook, the Jeremiah bridge, who is on the last song, Dej Loaf, who does the intro.
Yeah. Yeah, she does the hook on that. Yeah, all my favorite moments of the album are all features.
Oh, Kid Cudi's hook.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Charlie Wilson's on there. There's some Party Next Door on there. Some Ty Dolla Sign, like
Ty Dolla Sign's on like 3 fucking, damn, songs.
I know, dude. I love Ty Dolla Sign, dude. Like, he just needs to be on everything. Like, I'm,
yeah. Well, I guess like the thing that bothered me is like Ty Dolla Sign and Valet have like a great hook, bridge hook into All Mine, and then Kanye comes out and he's just bad. Like,
yeah,
like that line, like let me hit it raw, like fuck the outcome. None of us would be here with outcome. I was just like, I'm like, you're kidding me,
dude. That's, it's like, honestly, the thing is, like, with like all this social media shit, it's like my ability to put up with like this bullshit that Kanye is rapping about has gone way down now.
Yeah,
where
it's, I
like,
think
it's like, why am I don't like this music, like I don't think the production is good, like I don't even like, it's kind of sad because like this album's like less than 2 weeks old and I'm kind of like, I don't really need to ever hear this again. None of these songs really stick out to me.
Yeah. Can we agree that it was probably a good move that he didn't put that song, what was it called? The song he did with Quavo and Young Thug that came out like a year. Hold Tight.
I don't even remember that song.
Wait, yeah, wait, what song?
Yeah, wait.
Right, I thought you were going to talk about like the Scoop song.
You heard about
or
the Scoop Dee Poop song?
Yeah, that's what, no, I thought.
All right, well, dude, I would have been with song, this album.
Obviously, it's good that and Ye vs. the People is on it. But Hold Tight, I mean, sonically, it would have been the best song on the album. It leaked like a year ago. It was basically Kanye and Quavo. Yeah. They were rapping about like their black side and their white side, and like they're basically talking about how they're like partially white people and like they
want.
Oh, it's weird as hell.
I'd be acting. Yeah, like, I've never heard of this. Fucking white bitches.
Yeah. Oh, and then Young Thug just has this crazy ass verse out of nowhere that has nothing to do with the rest of the song. But, yeah.
No, but Marshall, I think a lot has to do with this is because all these Kanye antics, I just have so much less of an ability to just give him the benefit of the doubt anymore.
He lost all of his goodwill that he had.
He lost all of his goodwill with me. So it's just like, when he says some dumb stuff, like usually I'm like, oh, okay, you know, that's just Kanye being stupid. But then now I'm like, nah, this is stupid. Like, I don't like this. Like, he just lost all of his goodwill and I really just don't feel like I can give him the benefit of the doubt anymore. Like,
I don't know. I think that's part of it, but I also will say, like, fuck Kanye and all that shit, but, like, you know, I just watched the Kevin Spacey movie last night, and I was like, damn, Kevin Spacey's a piece of shit, but he's a really fucking good actor. Like, this was just a bad album. Like, I just don't think, like, if it would have been good, I would have been like, yeah, Kanye made a good album.
Yeah.
I still don't fuck with him, like, with what he's saying on social media or whatever, but, like, I have to acknowledge, like, I really like a lot of these songs, but, like, there's just nothing likable. And maybe you're right. I try not to, like, think about that when I'm just listening to it. But maybe, like, in the back of my mind, I'm less willing to give him a pass. Because it's kind of crazy. Because I see online, like, some people really like this album. Like,
yeah,
did we listen to the same thing? I really don't understand it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, I do kind of – most of the beats are kind of, like, minimalist. And while, like, that's definitely not where Kanye is at his best, I do kind of respect that, like, you know, he does have this beat that's coming in like wild, crazy, followed up by a beat that's like, you know, you barely notice.
Yeah. And
I do like, is it on Yikes or All Mine where he uses the beat or like, it's like a drum or something, is like an ad lib kind of.
He has, I think, like, that might be Yikes.
Yeah. I kind of like that. And then like the random noises during Shake's verse. Like,
yeah,
I do.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the production is, it's not up to Kanye's standards, which might make it feel bad, but it's, I don't think it's bad. Yeah.
I don't think it's bad either. It's
probably the best part of the album, but that's not saying a ton. And especially, I guess we'll get to the other album later, but especially given like the other two releases he's had, it definitely feels like the low point to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It seems weird that it almost seems like he had like the worst production on his own album.
Yeah.
Out of all the albums he's produced, like these three that he's produced, I mean, that come out, the worst production was on his own, which you'd think it'd be the other way around. Like, he would save the best ones for him.
We'll get to it later, but yeah, I mean, I definitely have some thoughts on that as well. Gray, what's your take on Ye or Ye?
Let's say Ye. I don't think it's Ye. Like, I don't think this. I refuse to believe it's Ye.
Yeah. Well, are they called Yeezys or Yeezys, Tony?
Well, see, but there's two E's there.
But that's Yeezy. That's not, like, what's up, Ye? You know, like.
Yeah. No, it's Ye, but I understand why I thought it was Ye.
Yeah, I don't. But
I think it's clearly Ye.
I agree, correct.
Yeah. But no. Right, go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I have pretty similar opinions as you guys. I think I like it a little bit better, but it's definitely one of his worst. And, I mean, I think I kind of have the same opinion of this album as I do as the Cudi album. It's like, and I think the worst parts are basically just Kanye rapping.
Oh, you're about to get these hands on this Cudi album, man. I'm coming out swinging for this album. You guys better
wait. Get ready. All right. Steve Marshall.
But yeah, so we kind of all agree this is like bottom tier Kanye stuff then.
I think the best thing I saw, someone tweeted, I forget who it was, but he was like, this Kanye album is like when you're dating a girl and all your friends tell you that she's crazy and then you break up with her and you're like, damn, she is crazy.
Yeah,
it's that's like all that shit. Yeah, yeah. You ever date someone and the whole time people are like, they're a weirdo, then you break up and you finally see it. This is my gay review.
Yeah, I did see that. That's I think it was in like one of the Ringer's exit survey thing they do.
Yeah, it's some one of those social media people.
Someone was like, "Well, no, I saw this something different." It was like somebody was like, "The Ye album is too short, but I'm not sure I want to hear the longer version of it." And that's like kind of where I am.
I don't know, like, if I needed more of that. Like, it's almost glad it was short because I was able to listen to it multiple times. Like, if it was longer, I would just be like, "Man, fuck this!" After a while.
Yeah, no, somebody said that, and I was like, I'm kind of with you on that. Like, it is too short, but also I don't know if I want a longer one because it's just, I don't know, nothing. They said nothing really, nothing hooked me in. I was never like super into it, and then all of a sudden it was over, and I was like, oh, well, I guess that's it.
I think quite Ghost Town is a pretty good song.
I think Ghost Town is pretty good.
Yeah, Ghost Town was my favorite song, and that's why it gave me a little hope. I was like, damn, maybe this Cudi album can be good. Because, that's my favorite song was him with Cudi. So, hopefully that will be better.
And that's the one with 070 Shake on it, too. Or 070 Shake.
And Charlie Wilson.
And Charlie. Is that the one with Charlie Wilson? No, Charlie Wilson's on No Mistakes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I also, I think most of the songs, it's a fine album.
I think it's all right. Yes. But for, Kanye, it's just,
there are no highs. I think with every Kanye album, there's at least a couple songs which I really like. And I don't think there are any highs on this album. Like, it's just, it's fine. Like, it's seven fine tracks that I will not go in any of my playlists. I really don't care if I hear again ever. I don't think any of them are, pop hits that I would, throw that on at a bar or, on the radio. Like, no, especially given,
Kanye's. No, definitely not.
Well, it's
one is that with the Valley hook? Maybe that's the only one.
Oh, mine.
Yeah.
Well, that's the one getting the most play right now. But even that one's
I think it's exclusively for the hook.
Album, and he's gonna complete body all of these songs.
Well, I mean, I didn't really think it's about his and Kim's relationship struggles, and about his daughter in a really dumb way, and like about his mental illness. Like, I didn't really expect there to be like bangers on this album.
Oh no, he doesn't try to make that type of music anymore. He stopped trying to make hits, I think, with Watch the Throne.
But yeah, I don't know. But I do agree with Marshall that where it's just like there's just no like high points on the album to me where I'm like, oh, that was like that song really stood out. Like,
I think
I'm going to be listening to this song forever, and it's like, no, that there's nothing like that on this album for me.
Yeah, I think the closest was probably Ghost Town for me personally, but then this other album came out, and that kind of just blew it out of the water, where it's like, yeah, I mean, that was okay, but I'd rather have any one of these seven songs than this. Do we want to quickly go through any of these tracks? I mean, we've talked about Ghost Town. We like that one a lot.
It's
going to get a lot of play. Yeah. Again, I just think, like, the whole I Thought About Killing You, where it's like I put it on, it's like 2 minutes of Kanye being like, today I seriously thought about killing you. Premeditated murder. I was like, dude, what? Like, especially like that's just such a weird album opener, given like how people are thinking about it. Where it was like, going, I was like, all right, Kanye, like I'm kind of pissed. I'm giving you a chance on this, but like you've made some of my favorite music of all time. So let's see what your new stuff is. And like you come out with this weird shit. It's like, dude, like I don't know. That was like immediately off-putting. I would say.
I have another quick question. So this is more of a generality thing, but like. It's come up a decent amount of times to me, but it came up again, the Kanye album. Is it just me, or does, like, any rap where a rapper talks about, like, fucking bitches, like, taking girls to a titty shop like Kanye, does it come off really disingenuous when they're married? Or is it just me?
Oh, dude, once they're, like, 40 and married, it's like, dude, like, stop.
Yeah, it's like, even with Jay-Z, I'm like, I know you cheated on your wife, Jay-Z. But hearing you talk about other bitches, I still don't buy it. Like,
no. But if we're going individual songs, I feel like we have to mention how idiotic it is in Violent Crimes, where Kanye said it took him to have a daughter to realize women should be treated as human beings.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah,
there
I mean, that was like, yeah, I think Kanye wrote that song. I hope he did. Damn.
I get there's like, a subset of people that like feel that way, but like, I feel like that's something you should kind of keep to yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why do you feel bad? Because the thing that's sad is like I thought his mom was like a pretty like powerful woman. And, like,
exactly,
like, she didn't raise you to respect women. Like that's just kind of sad in my mind. You know,
Also, like he's like, I hope you have a body like mine and not your mom's. I'm like, that's not what's important here. Like, yeah, I don't know. I'm like, you should like be more focused on like raising a daughter that you can be like proud of, not whether or not she's hot. Like that should probably be the least.
Kanye sounds so like that's like such like an older generation thing in my mind. I don't know. I just feel like maybe I'm like naive or whatever. But I feel like our generation just like respects women a lot more. Well, I guess like there's shitty people all over the place, but like, yeah, it just seems so such a weird and outdated song. Yeah, I agree. And then, like, the Nicki part at the end was just really weird.
Ooh, I actually kind of like that.
I know, but did you not think it was weird he ended his album on that, though?
It's so weird, like, getting to the end of that album, then you have, like, repeat on it that goes into, like, today I thought about killing you. It's like, all right, that's enough, Kanye. Like, I need to listen to something else.
I did think it was a little peculiar. He ended his album on a Nicki Minaj voicemail from, like, 8 years ago.
Well, dude, he was doing that all the fucking time in life with Pablo, so I guess that's, like, what fans
expect the Max beat.
Now. That's kind of, it's a weird thing. It's like,
I don't think it would have been weird if it literally wasn't the last thing you hear on the album, is what I mean. Like, you're, like, that's what you leave the album with. That's
well,
the last
short
thing
album. Where else can he throw it in, dude?
I mean, I guess, but...
If you just throw it in the middle, it seems really out of place, too. I feel like when you have this short of an album, like, that's my entire point. When you have this short of an album, you don't have time for these, like,
you have
random,
to make them
like,
count.
2 minute things about killing people, and then these random like voicemails from Nicki Minaj. Like, just make music. Like, it's so stupid.
You have when you have an album that's 24 minutes long, you have to make all 24 of those minutes count.
Agreed. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why this just feels so like underwhelming to me.
All right. I don't know. We all finished on the yay takes.
Any other tracks anyone want to call? I feel like we touched on most of them.
I mean, we touched on pretty much all of them because
Wouldn't Leave is like, it's kind of touching, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, she won't leave me even though like I'm giving all these stupid takes. But, yeah, I guess she's loyal to you, but damn, dude, like calm down.
Yeah. I didn't think it was like I mean, obviously, it's kind of how people are that, like, whenever you do something, they're worried about you fucking the money up. But I kind of think, like, it's a bad look for Kim that she was worried that they were going to go broke because Kanye said slavery was a choice. And she wasn't mad that, like, he actually said it.
Well, I mean, that's not, like, the most obvious, like, that was, like, the least surprising thing in the whole world to me, that Kim Kardashian is more upset with how much money she has than...
Dude, they're living a complete... That's the thing, like, Kanye's is, like, they're living a completely other lifestyle, like...
Yeah, but my thing is, like, regardless of what they do or say, they are set for so many lives.
Yeah, like, but, that, I mean, that's all... They can never have enough, thing, dude. But that's the only never thing Kim... Enough. That's the only thing the Kardashians care about, though. They don't actually care about anything else other than their...
Fame and money.
Fame and their money.
Yeah, I get that, but I'm just kind of like, you know, wherever Kanye says problematic stuff like that, like, you should
be your worry should be that he said something problematic, we're going to go broke over it. Yeah,
you shouldn't
I get
be
that.
Crying on the phone because, like, you fucked our money up. And, like, Kanye's like, shout out Kim for saying, even though I fucked the money up, not shout out Kim for saying, even though I'm a fucking asshole. Like,
yeah, no, I do, I get what you're saying there, but it's not surprising to me, but I get what you're saying.
But I don't think it's the best look.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, also is not like the most liberal family.
Yeah.
Well, I guess this is past the point of being liberal. It's like, dude, you literally
you're a human being. Choice. Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, Jesus, dude. Like,
oh, yo, Kim's getting private meetings with the president, man.
Yeah. We're in a simulation. Yeah. I'm convinced of it. This can't be real life.
Yeah.
That's we're living in, man.
Kim freaking Kardashian. Mm-hmm. Is meeting with President Donald Trump in real life. I don't buy it. But anyway.
Wolf.
Yeah, wolf.
Wolf, wolf, wolf. Wolf.
Wolf. No, but do we want to move on to Kids See Ghosts then?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, Marshall, since you seem to have takes on this, I'll give you the floor to start.
All right. So like I said, Ghost Town was probably my favorite song coming off that. So I was like, you know what? Like, fuck, like, Daytona was really good. Like, I love the production on that. You know, this kind of sucks, but my favorite part was, like, Cuddy over this Kanye beat, so maybe this will be better. And then, like, okay, so a little bit of background on Cuddy. So, like, I think Greg knows this well, because I played this shit all the time in high school. Like, in 2015, Cuddy tried to make a pop, like a punk rock album.
Alternative, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, like, quite legitimately, like, I've listened to, like, a decent amount of music, I would say, like, of different genres or whatever. It was probably the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
Hey.
It was so bad.
Kid Cudi said last year that in 5 years that would be the most important album of all time. So we're 4 years away from it.
Jeez.
It's 2 years away.
2 years away from being
2 years away from being 2 years.
Shouts
to Fran Priscilla, man.
The thing you fucking forget about this album is it's an hour and a half long. Oh my god. It's so long and it's so awful. But anyway, when that came out, I was like, dude, fuck Cuddy. Like, I can't even. Like, this is so awful. Like, I don't know what he's thinking. Like, this dude's crazy. But then his next album, Passion, Pain, and Demon Slaying, he was kind of returning to his sound a bit. I kind of liked it. I think my major issue was, like, every single song was, like, 4 minutes long and just way too long. I was like, he just, like, because I feel like he gets into a pretty repetitive, like, sound over a beat. So I was like, I kind of like the sound of this, but, like, all these songs need to be cut in half. And then this comes out and, like, okay, so this is, I'll start off with my take. I think this is Kanye's best production on an album since 2010.
Since My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Yes, exactly. And the whole Good Friday era. We're not talking about individual songs. I'm talking about, like, on an entire project. And I think you guys are kind of down on Yeezus, so you'll probably agree with me on that.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys feel about this one, honestly, because this one seems pretty polarizing, too, online. But I think it's perfect. I think the production here is so good. He knows Cuddy's style so well. I feel like every single beat is so good. Starting off with Feel the Love, like, I was, like, kinda not feeling it at first, and then Kanye comes in with this weird, like,
that's the best part of the album.
It sounds so fucking good. Like, honestly, I don't know if I was even that high the first time, but, like, once I heard it again, I was like, yo, this shit is so good. And it, like, he has the drums going in the back, too. And, like, everything just comes together in such an awesome way. And, like, it just stays up with that high-quality production for the rest of the album, I feel like. Reborn is, like, a classic.
I was saying, I think Reborn is the most classic, like, Cuddy.
Yeah. Oh,
sounding beat.
That sounds straight from Man on the Moon. Sounds straight off that album.
And, dude, I am about that, the Cuddy montage. Dude, oh, with the Kurt Cobain guitar riff sample is so good. Oh, it's so good. Like,
and Kid See Ghost, I love the beat on that song too. Like, honestly, the production on all of these songs is so good. That's what I mean, like, it's short, but like this feels like Daytona to me in the sense that like I would have liked a little bit more short, but I'm almost rather have them keep it short where it's like, yeah, I can just put this album on repeat because I fuck with every single song on here, you know? But yeah, I mean, it's up there. Like I said before, Daytona was like probably my favorite project of the year, but now this is right up there with it. I probably still lean Daytona just because I'm a really big Pusha T fan, but like this is the best I've heard Cuddy maybe ever, honestly, because I like Man on the Moon, but like that was the longer project and he had like the hit songs on it that did really well, but like the thing I like about these shorter albums is like I just feel like the consistency is so much higher. I just feel like, I don't know, like, I like every single song. I feel like almost because it's shorter, it makes me appreciate every track more because there's less to kind of digest. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's the best thing Kanye's done production-wise. And maybe just in general, I guess, since Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Yeah, I mean, I love it. It's going to get endless replays from me. It already has. But I'm interested to see what you guys think because I know not everyone's super high on this, but I really think it's really fucking good.
Okay, so I've never been that... I've always liked Kid Cudi. I've always thought that he was a decent bit overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I feel like he was one of the artists that... You know how Childish Gambino kind of has the artistic license to do whatever he wants because, like, white people like him?
Yeah,
like, all right, for example, no,
but yeah, I agree. Like, yes, it's definitely
Childish Gambino,
a real thing. Yes.
Drops an R&B album, it wins the Grammy for R&B album. Future and Young Thug drop better R&B albums, they get not even a nomination in either genre at the Grammys. Like, I've always thought that like there are certain artists who like because the people who vote on awards seem to collectively like them, they get the benefit of the doubt on a lot of things. I've always been of the opinion that Kid Cudi was that artist, and his alternative album ultimately proved that to me because it got like decent reviews, even though it was one of the most garbage things I've ever heard.
Dude, are you sure about that? Because I think that was pretty universally hated. I don't think I saw anyone that liked that album.
I'm about to look this up right now.
I'm pretty sure when it first came out, it got like a lot of.
What's it called?
Speeding Bullet to Heaven, aka Speeding Bullet to the Trash Can.
It's on Metacritic. It has a 44 out of 100, but Billboard.
Right, that's way too high. That's
Billboard
high.
Gave that it a 4 stars out of 5. Jesus Christ!
Ooh,
Jesus wow, Christ! That's all tough. Right, but it's fucking Billboard. Billboard is not a legit reviewing site. But yeah, dude, 44. That should be sub 20. Honestly, that was so bad. So bad.
So, I really like the intro, and I really like Reborn. I think they're two phenomenal songs. And then the rest of the songs have, like, moments to me that I really enjoy. I don't think Cuddy Montage is very good. I think Kids See Ghost is pretty good. But, like, the rest of the songs have, like, moments to me that really draw me in. They're, like, there's a 30-second part to them I really like. And overall, I thought it was, like, pretty good because I had incredibly low expectations for it.
Yeah, I also with Mark where it's like, I'm going to preface my opinion with, I've never been a huge Kid Cudi guy.
Yeah.
Like, and I like, you know, the big singles from like Man on the Moon and stuff, but most of his other stuff I've listened to, I've not been a big fan of.
I would also like to say that I'm a big fan of emo rap music. So I kind of, and I like respect the Kid Cudi kind of started in its modern form. And even then, like I kind of respect what he did, but I never was like, damn, like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel that. I'm with you. I feel like he's a bit overrated. I feel like Man on the Moon was like a good album. Like there, I would say half of those songs I really like. Man on the Moon too, like I still kind of liked. but I felt like that was a little overrated. Then Indicud, he completely lost me. I actually didn't like that album. That's the thing. Like, people fucking love that album. Like, really? I don't see it.
So I'm not a huge Kid Cudi guy, but I think this album is also, like, it's fine. I don't know. I don't have, like, I've listened to it twice, and I like it more than Ye. I'll give it that. I do like it more than that, but I don't know. It's all right. I'll probably listen to it a couple more times. I'll probably have a couple songs on here that I actually continue to listen to going forward, but I don't know. It's not like...
You like Daytona more? How do you think this... Okay, so outside of Kanye producing, how do you feel like this compares to his past albums? You think Life of Pablo you enjoy more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although, like, I...
What about this or Yeezus?
I think it was more so, it's not that I don't like Yeezus, it was more so I'm disappointed by Yeezus, which may be where I ultimately fall.
Well, yeah, I mean, coming off My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, that's tough, man.
Like, I think that might be end up where I may end up falling on Ye. Is it like, it may not end up being bad to me, it's just like, I had expectations for an A or an F from Kanye, coming off all the crazy shit he was doing, he dropped like a C+.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I honestly feel like these other two albums I actually really enjoy to the point that it kind of makes Ye seem like so much like less necessary, because it's like I basically got 14 tracks of Kanye, of like great Kanye West production. Like, I don't need these like seven kind of tracks with just him rapping over them. I'd almost rather have like the Pusha verses and then like him and Cudi together. Like, I feel like that's a good mix. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of have, I guess, a boring take on this album because I just think it's kind of fine. But like I said, I'm not really a huge Kid Cudi guy to begin with. But I think the production's really good. I agree with you that it's really, really good. And I'm with Mark. There are some highs for it on me. And I don't know. Like I said, I'll probably listen to a handful of the songs going forward. But it's not like my favorite album.
Yeah.
I don't know. Greg, what about you?
Basically the same take. I've only listened to it once, so I don't... like know all the songs that well, but I think it's okay. It's better than Ye, but it's I would not say it's like my favorite album of the year or anything like that. There are parts that are good, but I also just think there are parts that are just like kind of weird or forgettable or and I don't really like any of Kanye's rapping at all in this at all.
Yeah, I just
like
just
I think like... the Kid Cudi parts are good, but I just don't like the Kanye stuff.
I just like how completely out we are on any time Kanye raps in any of these songs that have come out. Like all of Ye were weird. Like when it's Kanye it's bad, when it's everybody else it's good. It's like the same thing.
Wait. I liked his verse on Kids See Ghost. I don't know. I thought that was probably my favorite verse from him on these
also,
three projects.
The beginning of the second verse on Is it Wouldn't Leave, where he's like, where he does the sentimental, sensitive, gentlemental, sentimental.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. That's like, is like one of the few coherent verses Kanye's
put
together.
Like, I thought that was real good.
Yeah.
But like,
is it sad that your guys' favorite Kanye moment out of all of these albums is his scatting at the end of Feel the Love?
No, because that was fucking phenomenal.
But like that's like not even him saying words. A great like, it's moment. Just him making noises, and that's his favorite Kanye moment.
Like Kanye's never been like a lyricist.
Well, yeah, I know, but like the fact that him just making noises is the best Kanye moment.
No.
Two albums is absurd.
No, Tony. But here's the thing.
I think his entire production on this album is.
All right, but Kanye make like using his words. It's like Kanye's vocals. Your favorite part. Is him going,
but I like that dumb shit, dude. I like that dumb shit. Come on. You know I like that dumb shit. I'm like a DMX fan, okay? Come on.
Okay, so Tony, couple things about that. One, out of the four good music albums that have come out, Daytona, Life of Designer, Kids See Ghosts.
Oh, Life of Designer exists, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That was not even something else.
My favorite moment.
Life of Designer?
My favorite moments ranked was four albums. One, The Valet Hook. Two, Kanye screaming incoherent noises for 45 seconds.
It's wild. Like,
this might be informed by the fact that, like, wherever I put it on, wherever I was like driving home from work, and I hit like the interstate as soon as like Kanye started screaming incoherent things. So I was going from like 25 to 90 over the course of that thing.
Oh, dude, that must
and it was fucking electric.
Yeah, dude. I have to check my speed whenever I'm listening to this in the car that comes on, because I'm going like 10 miles.
That might inform my entire take on it. But like as I was like speeding up and as that part came on, it was just perfect. Yeah, I was so happy.
This entire album is great to play while you're driving.
See, that just
these albums are all so good for while you're driving because it's like the perfect length.
Like that just seems like it's something that shouldn't happen though, for an artist the stature of Kanye, for your favorite moment on all any like four albums that he's been dealing with, in which he has vocals on. Your favorite part is him just screaming noises.
I like his verse on Kid Sea Ghost a lot. And I mean, Kanye's high points is production. Like, yeah, I guess. I mean, I really liked his verse on No More Parties in L.A., but, like, I don't know. Like, even, like, most Kanye high points are always related to his production.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's never been, like, his most iconic song is literally just, like, a piano playing for, like, a minute and a half. And that's what people fucking lose their mind over piano.
Him doing that, like, auto-tune moan thing at the end of the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, people really love that shit. Yeah. I mean, I love it too. So,
yeah,
I mean,
same.
I can't lie.
I mean, Tony, honestly, I might not be the person for the best Kanye takes because my favorite Kanye song ever is RoboCop.
Dude, I love RoboCop.
But I feel like I've got severely scrutinized anytime I told anyone it was my favorite Kanye song.
I'm not saying that part is bad. I'm just saying that I feel like it should not be like a top tier Kanye vocal moment when he had an entire album that came out like a week before this, and it was we liked it better than anything that he did on that album.
But dude, it was 22 minutes.
But still,
you're taking
the wrong thing out of what I'm trying to say here. Like,
but here's my thing: if Kanye had an hour long album, yes, but he had like 10 verses. And honestly, I, as someone who has personally said numerous times that designers should put out an 8-song, 16-minute. Strictly him ad-libbing gun noises album.
Okay, see, that works for designer because that's literally all he's known for. Anytime he actually has to rap, it's not good.
But
anytime
someone,
he's just there to make ad-libs, it's good.
As someone who's a fan of ad hoc chaos in music, I love this. It's the perfect amount of ad hoc chaos.
Wait, Tony, here's my counterpoint. What is, name your top three, or well, you don't have to name like top three, but just give me like some Kanye verses that you have like really enjoyed in the past.
I mean, I don't off the top of my head, I can't come up with it, but I'm just saying, like, I think it's weird. I think it's crazy that him making screaming random noises is like a high point.
Well,
for
I think
him
part
in
of it too is
month.
we've had these albums for like 2 weeks. I haven't really like did a deep dive into the lyrics of these albums yet, so it's like, yeah, sure. I mean, off the top of my head,
yeah,
like, those are the things I like. But I mean, that's the thing. It's like Kanye is kind of like, Kanye's been off the deep end for a while now with his lyrics.
But I'm saying for an actual rapper, for our favorite verse of his to be him incoherently yelling noises.
This is like barely a rapping album, though, dude. This is more like a cloud rap, like R&B album.
I know, but
like, that's with the genres entirely.
What
yourself.
I'm trying to
like,
say is getting completely misconstrued, so I'm just going to stop trying. Because this is just really being annoying to me. Because
I understand what you're saying, but like Kanye's not a conscious.
I know, I'm not
anymore.
Saying he is or he ever was or whatever. I'm just saying him incoherently screaming noises as being our favorite part is crazy.
Hey Tony, heard
I don't
you.
Think that's a I don't think that's a take, but I don't know.
Oh, it's ours.
Sure,
it's
I don't know.
By a take,
no,
okay.
I'm the crazy one for thinking that Kanye incoherently yelling noises is a high point for him over the past 2 months. I'm the crazy one in this situation. Yeah.
It's okay. Okay. The
no, but I guess
okay.
Like, no, it to me like
Greg, chime in here. Greg, back up. Tony.
I don't think what I'm saying is like some crazy thing. I really
no,
don't.
Greg needs to be the voice of reason here.
I really don't.
Are,
like
have like the hottest takes when it comes to this.
All right, wait. Yeah, let's hear Greg's part, and then I will respond to Tony in a cordial manner.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I would back Tony in this, but.
Okay.
I mean, when you do think about it, and there's no, like, a great Kanye verses, so...
Kanye's standout vocal moment is him incoherently yelling noises. Like, I don't think that's absurd. Like, that's kind of crazy. Like, I don't think that's an absurd take or stance.
No, it's not, but, like...
Well, that's all I'm saying. So why am I being treated like I'm saying something that's crazy?
But to me, Kanye's, like, things that, like, I like about Kanye is, like... his grandiose vision, like his vision for like a project and what it should be, his production, and then his random moments of mayhem. Like, those are my top three Kanye things. And since these albums are so short, we really get a coherent vision. The production is pretty good. But, like, that third thing is the thing that I can latch on to.
Sure, I guess. I don't know. I just don't think I was making, like, some wild point, and then I got all this backlash for it. So I was not prepared to actually have a legitimate argument about this point.
I don't know.
Because I didn't think it was a thing worth arguing over. It was mostly a joke, but then
yeah.
it spiraled way out of control.
We're getting serious about
yeah.
this.
Okay. Mostly started
stand.
And then I got legit backlash on that point.
This is life and bloodshed, dude. Coming out my
I just really like it. It's so good.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not good, and I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it. It's not it's my like point I'm making at all.
Music moment of the year for me, but, honestly. The more I listen to it, like it's
yeah. So Tony, I mean, like as probably one of the only people in the world who's been on this island that Young Thug has been the best rapper for the last 2.5 years. I mean, I think this is pretty on brand for me.
I mean, yeah, I guess, yeah. But
I think if anything, you should be.
As a Kanye stan,
I was just really not prepared for my mostly joke statement to be taken so seriously and get such backlash from you two. I was not prepared.
I thought you were making insightful criticism on how sad it is, but
I was not prepared for this.
This isn't what I signed up for.
It's not at all. I was not prepared to have like a 5-minute long debate over whether or not this was like a thing. But sure.
Wait, can we have one serious thing too? Can we, what is your guys' like favorite project of the year so far?
Honestly, I don't even know.
Well,
man, stuff.
I haven't been a huge fan of honestly almost anything. So.
My main candidates are Nipsey Hussle, Cardi B, Rich Homie Quan, and XXXTentacion. I actually think that's the best project of the year, but I've been trying not to listen to him.
Bro.
After that big story dropped. After the podcast is over, I think we should have an ethics discussion about whether or not I should listen to him. Like genuinely. Because Malcolm Gladwell made a really good point on his podcast about how, like, so he was pretty much like, there was this guy who, like, did insurance for coal mines. He knew, like, 50 years before he officially recognized that, like, smoking and, like, everything like that is bad for people. Like, he realized, like, coal miners had respiratory problems, like, 5 times as large. And he was just kind of like, we knew this for 50 years. We waited for evidence, like, beyond a shadow of a doubt to do anything about it. And he was like, and we're doing the same thing with football right now. And I was like, well, I'm not going to stop watching football. And I was also like, I'm not going to stop listening to Chris Brown. And I was like, should I stop listening to XXXTentacion? Because, like, I kind of have since that crazy story dropped. But I'm like, I'm kind of only doing it for him. So
let's say that's for an after-hours,
yeah,
after
I kind of want to have an ethical...
I have an ethical
quandary about because I'm like...
I'm also... Well, we'll say for after-hours.
After-hours. Anyway. I don't know. Do we have anything else on? Like I said, I don't even know if I could give you my favorite project. Like I have not been blown away.
Black Panther,
that might be the thing I've listened to the most this year. Honestly, that album probably has the most plays.
It's grown on these
as any album I've listened to this year. So yeah, probably that. I guess
that's probably
my
favorite.
Honestly,
yeah. I would say that too.
Honestly, that's my answer because that's what I've played the most and probably what I've liked the most.
I mainly wanted to bring that up because I listened to Black Thought had a
That's pretty solid,
dude. Honestly, as someone who's kind of like admired the Roots from afar and like I've listened to like all their big songs or whatever, I listened to this and I was like, dude, I really need to get in the Roots. So like I downloaded like their first like couple albums, so like I've been listening to like Do You Want More and Philadelphia Half-Life, I think that's what the other one's called. There's like their first two albums. And like those two are like kind of old and they don't hold up super well, but like his new little thing is so good. Like the beats sound really modern and he's like talk about a wordsmith. Like he's like, you know, he's actually giving, like,
one of
really
the greatest lyricists
verses.
Like of all time.
He had that one.
That's what I mean, dude. That's why I'm trying to get in the Roots now, because like I was so impressed by that. I was like, I need to, like, get really into the roots and not just like the singles or whatever. I need to actually listen to some of these albums. So that's kind of what I've been doing.
He had that one freestyle that came out a few months ago. It was like 10 minutes long.
Oh, that shit was wild.
And it was absurd. Yeah, so I did see that came out recently. And I was
yeah, it's like 17 minutes. It's really short. It's 5 tracks. We'll see it. So I highly recommend you guys give me a quick listen.
I may check that out. But
I loved it. So for me, it's like that, Daytona, and Kid C Ghost. Probably, if I had to pick one, I'd probably say Daytona, just because I'm a pretty big Pusha T fan. But I mean, I love all three of those. And yeah, dude, the Black Panther album bumps. Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I love that. That's probably my most played.
Yeah, that's my most played. So I guess that's my favorite.
Did anyone listen to the Superfly soundtrack yet?
I did not.
I started to, and that's what I'm saying. Some people were like really liking it, and I was like pretty hyped about it. I was like, oh shit, Future is like in almost all these songs. And I was listening to a few songs, like, it wasn't doing anything for me, so I kind of just stopped.
It makes me real sad, because, like, after Hendrix, I was, like, ready to say that, like, Future's in, like, my top 5 list of, like, best artists right now. But he completely mailed in the DJ Esco project, and then he completely mailed in Superfly, and now I'm just, like, I don't know what to do with Future. Because...
Yeah, dude, I'm kind of out on Future.
Well, I guess, like, my thing is, like, neither of them are his own projects. So, like, they're not his album that he puts his name on. So I won't be like too critical of it, but neither of them are that good. And I'm just like, I feel like even on like an off day, Future should do something a little better.
Yeah.
Dude, he's like the weakest part on King's Dead, and that's kind of sad.
He's the best fucking part on King's Dead.
All right, I'm with Mark on this. The heck with you.
What?
I do think Kendrick's verse is better, but the la-di-da-di-da part is an elite level moment in music history.
La-di-da-di-da.
That is an elite level music moment.
Fuck me in the cup.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite music moments of 2018.
Yeah. Elite level music moment. But.
Oh, wait. He doesn't have a verse, does he? That's all he does. Okay. Yeah.
He kind of does maybe, the hook and then that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
You're right. J Rock's verse isn't that good now that I'm looking at
it. It's all right.
Ooh, J Rock has an album coming out.
I love that fucking song, though, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God. I'm super. Can we talk about this? Paramedic, too. Paramedic has grown on me so much. So good.
Dude, I'm super hype. I'm going to see Kendrick on Friday or Saturday.
Oh, shit. He's coming to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's Kendrick, J Rock, Schoolboy Q, SZA, Absol.
Dude, that's so awesome.
Wait. Speaking of that, real quick. So I pitched this to Tony a little while ago. I think it's the weekend of August 9th. Drake and the Migos are performing in Canada. Would anyone like to spend a weekend in Toronto and go to a Drake concert?
Fuck, dude. I think I have a pager that weekend, so I can't travel. Let me look into that. August 9th.
All right. Well, are we about to get into like?
Yeah, we're getting into personal stuff.
This is for the
Patreon.
The Patreon that we don't have.
You guys subscribe for this shit.
This is for the $10 or more a month club.
All right. Well, if we're about to get into this stuff, let me just do the outro thing, and then we could
do an intro.
We haven't done an intro in like 6 weeks, so I'm kind of over it at this point. I honestly don't remember the last time we've done one, so but anyway, thanks for listening to the Step to the Athletic podcast. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, all that stuff. Rate us, review us, do all that. For Mark Chakowski, Marshall Hartman, and Greg Stefanik, I am Tony Romanello. Peace.
Oh,
Marshall, you're the worst.
Have fun with that engine.